When in Rome.
Yes.
I'm having very strong feelings for you, Mr. Burgundy. Mm. But it's very important to me that I be viewed as a professional.
Right. When in Rome.
But sometimes you just gotta look yourself in the mirror and say, when in Rome.
For all the Anchorman fans out there, you know that that whole scene with Ron Burgundy when he was screwing up the whole when in Rome thing was actually pretty damn funny. But here's the part that's not so funny. You might actually be guilty of misunderstanding it too. My name is Paul Castain, and I'm the author of the Your Sales Playbook blog and your host for the Sales Playbook podcast. I've personally trained over 10,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. So there's this trap in sales, and it could absolutely kill your efforts. And I call it the when in Rome trap. So let me explain this to you. Let me define it. The when in Rome trap occurs whenever you see people who are behaving a certain way, and it's not necessarily like bad behavior, not necessarily good behavior. They're behaving in a certain way, and then that old when in Rome thing kicks in, right? Because what are you supposed to do when you're in Rome? Do as the Romans do. So you see people acting a certain way, and you jump on board, and this is where you can get into a lot of trouble. So right about now, you might be thinking, well, where's he going with this? Is, you know, he's saying it's not necessarily good or bad. Well, you know, like, what's the freaking point, Castain? So let me give you a few scenarios, and then I think you'd have a really good grasp on our need to avoid the when in Rome trap. So the first thing is politics. Now, before you say duh, just remember, I mean, I think by now I've earned the right to say this to you guys. I never have a shortage of things I can talk about with you guys. I've been doing this 33 years. I've trained over 10,000 sales reps. So believe me, I have more than enough to keep us all busy for probably three lifetimes. So if I'm bringing something like this up, it means that I must encounter it an awful lot. So let me tell you about the when in Rome trap as it relates to politics. And we're not going to spend the whole time talking about politics. There's other things too, but I think this is the biggest thing right now, especially with this election coming up. I think I speak for everyone that there has been some really nasty brawls, and I'm sure you've seen it, and maybe you've even you might have found yourself in a position where you might have wanted to participate in those, right? I was trying to be nice about it, but there it is. So let me give you a scenario with the when in Rome thing. It could occur when this whole political thing, you could be hanging out with your client. You guys share the same beliefs. You find yourself seeing eye to eye. But there you are talking about it, and you're within earshot of someone who doesn't see eye to eye with you. Could make for an unnecessary confrontation. This person also might whisper in a decision maker's ear. They might turn out to be a future decision maker. I mean, have you guys seen that? Where, like, someone who was kind of in the trenches with this buyer that you knew, whatever it is, next thing you know, they're running the department. I mean, this is what happens. In fact, I remember when I first started in sales, way, way, way back when, I remember my dad saying, the most awesome feeling as a sales rep is when you have kind of gone through the ranks with someone. They started out at kind of the same level you were, and they've grown over time and everything else. Matter of fact, I'm sorry to kind of go on a tangent, but I just want to tell you one of the coolest things that a friend of my dad's, after he had passed away, had shown me. One of my father's clients had this thing. It was a business card. And it was my father's business card when he had first started out in sales, and this other guy's business card when he first started off in sales, and then who they were today. Both of them, my father went on to start his own business. That's where we worked together. And way back then, it was Castain Consulting Corporation, right? And this other gentleman went on to become president of a very big firm in the graphic arts industry. So it's just kind of nice to see that. But this happens. Now, you might be thinking, what, so somebody's going to go and knife you in the back like that because of a difference in political beliefs? Yeah, I am saying that. I'm not saying that that's going to be on their list of things to do because, you know, they're going to go and, you know, let's screw up Castaigne because he's going to vote for Trump instead of Hillary. I don't know that it's going to be that blatant, but I think if I were to have words with someone and I get in an unnecessary debate and it's not necessarily a nice one and it gets a little heated or whatever it is, I think somebody's going to label me an asshole. Right? And I think it's the same thing's going to happen with you. So that's one of the things that I would be very, very careful of. Also, too, online this happens all the time. I see this happen on all the social networks, particularly Facebook. I encountered this. I almost fell into this trap. Somebody, in fact, I'm saying like it just happened once. I probably almost fell into this trap 30 times easily. I mean, conservatively 30 times. There was someone who had posted an opinion and I was just like really in their corner. I was like, my God, finally somebody said it right with regard to the election. And I was like, I mean, I just got drawn in. It was like a tractor beam. My fingers are at the keyboard. I'm there about to voice my opinion. And then I'm realizing that everybody in my network is going to see that I went and posted there. Now, I'm one of those people that believes that you should connect with your clients on Facebook. I think it's a great opportunity to get to know each other. There are certain things that I just don't want to share with people. And one of them is my politics. I also don't discuss religion with people. These are two of the oldest rules in the book when it comes to sales. And yet people nowadays completely disrespect that. And now that we have the online thing, the whole thing now gets put on steroids. More people get to be subjected to your opinion. Now, in fact, you know, I'm going to get into that in a minute. You might be thinking that I'm saying, okay, so everybody's got to be a sellout and you can't stick to your guns and everything else. I'm not saying that at all. It may seem like I am, but when I just sort of wrap this up in a little while, you'll see why I'm not an advocate of it. And it might be a little bit different than what you're thinking right now because I have some reasons for not wanting to partake in that, that might open your eyes. So, but the online thing, it was funny over on Facebook. Again, I see somebody posting this. I wanted to just get in and go, you go, girl, right? And just, I realized that now I'm opening it up to someone else coming in there and saying, how the hell could you think that way? And next thing you know, I'm having a debate with a client or a potential client or a family member or whatever, and it could get kind of heated. The same thing goes for on LinkedIn, by the way. People, because right about now, you probably say, well, see, this is why I don't go connecting with people on Facebook. I got news for you. I'm seeing this shit all the time over on LinkedIn. This is like for the last year, I've seen politics. I've even seen religion over there. And, you know, it's, I don't know, you know, like I'm, who am I to tell you what you should and you shouldn't do over on LinkedIn that it's not meant for it? But it's a business forum. I mean, you really shouldn't be doing that. I think you're asking for trouble. And yes, there is another reason why I don't think you should be doing it. Again, I'm going to kind of tease you on. I don't think it's like, you know, a reason that's going to change your life. But I'm hoping that it's a reason that taps you on the shoulder and makes you take notice. So I want you to think about that. You know, the other area too is religion. You might be hanging out with some people and, you know, you're of the same faith and you have the same beliefs. And it could be the same type of scenario where there you are talking about a particular thing and then guess what? You got that other person in that other cubicle that disagrees with your religious beliefs. Now, you might be thinking, well, what business is it of, you know, theirs, right? But if you're there in their space and you're within earshot, or if you're putting it out there online, then you're subjecting yourself to another person's opinion. And, you know, I maintain this. Again, believe me, when it comes to, like, being yourself, I'm all for it. I mean, hopefully by now, you know. I mean, the guy who curses on his podcast. I'm the guy that's just, you know, I mean, I've told people, presidents of companies that have written me and said, you know, I was, you know, that's an instant knockout punch that, you know, you're cursing, whatever it is. And I'm like, well, bye-bye. See ya. I mean, I am going to be myself. You know, it's funny, and let's talk about that being yourself thing, because right about now you probably think, yeah, I did, you know, that's kind of, you know, being a hypocrite there, right? Well, let me just explain something about being yourself. I think that you absolutely should be yourself. But usually the way I make the point with someone when I'm talking with them, I'll ask them, I'll say, hey, listen, you know, I'm sorry if this is a personal question, but, it's really there to make a point. Do you have a lounge around at home in your pajamas or your boxer shorts or your underwear? And, you know, people look at me like, you know, like I'm a nutcase or a perv or whatever the hell it is, but I get an answer out of them. And most people, yeah, you know, pajamas, even though they kind of, you know, I'm thinking they're more of a boxer short type person. That's all right, you know. But, you know, I say to them, okay, so that's what you do at home. So, you know, that's, you know, why do you do it? Well, because it's relaxing and, you know, I could just kind of unwind and everything else. You know, I have to dress up all the time for work and everything. I say, okay, great. So when you go out in public, then you go out in your boxers or your pajamas or whatever it is. And they're like, no, of course not. Well, wait a minute, you're not being yourself then. And, you know, I mean, so hopefully what you're seeing there is that, you know, there are things that we, when we're in the comfort of our own home, that we can show that side of being ourselves. There are other times where it's not that we're going and we're hiding that whole thing, and we're keeping ourselves buried in our true personality, buried. I just think that what it is that we're showing up to the world in a more presentable form. Like, for example, you come over to my home, and you know, this may come as no shock to you, but I mean, you know, I tend to get a little colorful with my language. And my friends that hang out with me, they tend to be the same way. Now, does that mean now when I go out and I'm in a business meeting that I'm dropping F-bombs? No. Well, then I'm not being true to myself, right? I mean, then I'm a sellout. No, it means that I have good judgment and I know that chances are, if I go and I drop some F-bombs in there, or if I talk the way I do at my home, chances are I'm going to offend a lot of people. And it just doesn't fly there. So you're allowed to be yourself. I'm just telling you that there are certain things that if you go wearing them on your sleeve, you're going to have that get in the way. And I maintain that sales can be difficult enough without having some stupid shit get in the way of it and get us in an argument over something that we shouldn't even be arguing about, quite frankly, because that has nothing to do with my widget. My political beliefs has nothing to do with my widget. My religious belief, nothing to do with it. So I would be very, very careful with that. Same thing with online, by the way, when it comes to religion. And again, whatever your beliefs are, I'm here to respect them. And seriously, I'm not here to make fun of you. I'm not here to disrespect it. But I see it all the time. And I'll see it, like, again, it happens with a lot of areas, but I see it with religion. I'll see some people, and they're going, and they're expressing their religious beliefs. In fact, and I'm going to touch on and off the subject because it's going to offend some people. There were some people that were touching on the religious aspects of gay marriage. And they're there. To me, it's like, in a way now, could you talk about, like, any more controversy there, right? So there are some people that are discussing the religious aspect of it. They're getting into the politics or whatever. And next thing you know, it's getting heated. Now, there's a lot of people who say, well, you know what? Real adults and real professionals should be able to discuss these things calmly. You're absolutely right, but it doesn't work out that way. And I'm going to tell you why it doesn't. Because when it comes to emotions, could you think of any more emotional topics than politics and religion? People have a firm opinion. And I think that, you know, we're not there necessarily to discuss those things. What we're there for, there is a business purpose that we're getting involved with, whether it be on LinkedIn or if it's on Facebook. It's certainly when we're going to visit a client or whatever. Let me move on to the next one. The next one, and you have to be really, really careful with this. Again, it's that when in Rome thing, right? You do as the Romans do. Well, there you are. How many times have you had this scenario? And it's not just the guys. The women are just as guilty of this one. You're there and you're at the bar. It's after some meeting. It might be after a sales convention, it might be after a trade show or some kind of training, and there's some people with the off-color jokes. It could be, again, we talked about the language thing, right? You have to remember that, you know, there you are, and you think that, okay, well, everybody seems cool with it. Then you have that one person being quiet, and they're getting offended by it. Again, I want to be very, very clear. I am not at all in favor of you not being yourself. What I'm trying to encourage you to do is to show up with the best version of yourself possible. So you want to be careful with that. Now, you know, I want to talk about something that you might be thinking right about now. You might be saying, all right, but wait a minute now. You know, isn't what you're doing in a way hanging out at the bar, you know, I mean, you know, you mentioned it about bad language and stuff, and there you are, and you're saying the S curse, right? And for those of you who don't know what it is, it's when you say shit on your podcast. Now, you see, I really do feel that's a little bit different, and I'm going to tell you why I think it's different. I look at this podcast as my home, and you know, I look at it the same way as if you came into my home. I look at my blog as my home. This is how I choose to behave. I'm a big boy. I know the ramifications of it. This, to me, it underscores what I want to do. Now, I'm not doing it deliberately. It's just this is how I talk, right? I actually, those of you who know me very, very well, you know that privately, I get a lot more colorful than that. When we know each other, and if you're a person that also likes to be colorful, I could probably out-colorful you. But the deal is this, is that if you come into my home, and I'm not going to go out of my way to offend you. I'm certainly not going to, you know, drop an F-bomb in front of you if I don't know you, whatever it is. But it's my home, and I want to be very, very clear about it. And I'm going to act the way I do. And another thing, too, I'm not a holy roller, but if you would eat dinner with me in my home, we say grace before we eat. That might be offensive to you, and that's okay, but I want you to be very clear on something. It's my home. Now, I'm not going to sit there, if you're Jewish, and insist that you make the sign of the cross. I'm not going to go if you're Muslim, and I'm not going to make you uncomfortable with it, but we, in my family, we say grace. I'm very respectful that you may not or whatever it is, and that's okay. You don't have to. But one thing I'm not going to tolerate is somebody in my home telling me, hey, you know, you shouldn't be doing that or whatever. I'm not going to tolerate somebody telling me you shouldn't say shit in your home. I'm not going to tolerate somebody saying that, you know, I shouldn't be hanging out in sweatpants instead of, you know, I should be in jeans or whatever it is. I'm not going to tolerate somebody, you know, criticizing me for having a cigar in my backyard or whatever. I'm not going to tolerate somebody criticizing me, taking and chugging a bottle of Jack Daniels. But I only threw that in there to see if you were paying attention, because that I can't do. But I'll tell you what, though. If it were tequila, I couldn't chug it. But I could do some damage on it, I think. In fact, I know. I know, because I've been shut down by Mrs. Uncle Paul on many an occasion. So I'm lowering my voice talking about it. I don't want to stir that shit up again. But you know, but that's how I look at it. And you know, one of the things I mentioned before, if it underscores your brand. Now, for me, I want to be very, very clear. I feel it does underscore my brand. I'm going to tell you why. So what is my brand? Now, you guys might know what it is, but you've never heard me say. You never heard me put it out there what I'm looking to do. And when I tell you what it is, I'm hoping that I've done a good enough job that if you've been coming around for a while, you can say that makes perfect sense. I could see that. I've experienced what Paul's talking about. Here's my position on most sales training. You ready? It's way too stuffy. It puts people the hell to sleep. You guys don't need another stupid, silly, shitty acronym out there to make a point. You don't need another stupid role play. You don't need another person coming and talking to you about value propositions. You don't need another rah-rah motivational speech. What you need is someone to be painfully honest with you. And that is what I try to epitomize with what I'm doing. I'm not sitting here trying to be stuffy. I'm not trying to be clinical. You guys often hear me talk about the kitchen table test, where if you wouldn't say it at the kitchen table over a cup of coffee or a beer, don't say it at all. So I'm not sitting here talking all jargony with you guys. I'm being real. It's like we're having a visit. Do you know how many people reach out to me when they're finally at that point where they get the courage to say, hey, Paul, I want to hire you as a coach, or, you know, talk to us about coming in and being a keynote speaker or training our team or whatever it is. You know how many people say to me, on a weekly basis, Paul, I feel like I know you so well. You've been riding to work with me. You've been riding shotgun with me for years. And that's what I'm trying to go for. Now, you may agree with it. You may not. But I want to be very clear with something. This is my choice. It doesn't have to be yours. So in my case, I feel it underscores my brand. And I'll tell you what, if I'm completely wrong, and so far my W-2 tells me I'm absolutely right on this, but if at some point I become like dead wrong on it, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be grown up enough, not only to like admit it and all that kind of stuff, but to adjust the course, because there's no point in like clinging to trying to be right about something and bankrupting your family. So one thing I've noticed in branding myself over the last almost 9 years now, actually, no, I'm sorry, it's about 8 years now. One of the things I noticed is that it's a continual work in progress. You have to keep adjusting or whatever it is. So, you know, again, I just want to be very clear about something when it comes to this win in Rome trap. This is not about selling out. It's not about abandoning your beliefs. It's simply understanding that there's a time and place for all of this. In fact, you know, I think we're very quick to label a lot of this stuff common sense. But if you take a look at the arguments that are going on right now and about to get even worse because we have Election Day coming up here in the States, I think if you look and see how adamant people get about their politics, how adamant people get over their religion, well, I think then you need to understand two final things. You know, there's a saying, and the saying goes, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. That's what I teach people when it comes to personal branding. You have to know what your main thing is. So let's just say if I were to go on to your social networking feed, would I walk away thinking that you want to be the next O'Reilly or the next Sean Hannity? There's a very good chance that I might. I'm not saying you specifically, but many of you, I will. But that's not why you're there. I look in your profile and it says that you sell printing or that you sell staffing solutions or you're a CEO or you're, you know, a startup advisor or whatever. You're another coach like me. But I would never know that because when I look through your feed, guess what I see? I see all this political commentary. There's other people, again, I'm probably getting into a very sticky topic, forgive me, but again, it's kind of like, you know, my home here, I'm going to talk about it. Other people, you're a little too over the top with religion, you know, and meanwhile, I look, and, you know, I'm not seeing on there that, you know, that you want to be the next, you know, Joel Osteen or something like that. I'm not seeing that on there. But yet, I go through your feed, and everything is a different passage from the Bible and everything else. And again, I want to be very clear. If that's what you want to do, if that's what you're out to do, to spread the word of God and to, you know, like to do that or whatever it is, go ahead, man, home run. You're doing it. But when I look at your profile and it says nothing about that, and it says how what you do is you help business owners to streamline costs, or you're a consultant or whatever it is, and there's nothing in there about spreading the word of the Lord, and that's all you're doing, that's what people are going to associate you with. And you're going to, and I'm sorry, the same way with politics, you're going, not everybody shares that belief. So here's the second thing that I want you to realize, and it's really connected to the first thing. The first thing was the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. You have to determine, what's my main thing? What is it that I want people to say about me behind my back? Now, before, I kind of told you what my main thing was, right? Kind of what vibe I want you guys to have. Now, when you look at what your main thing is, then you need to understand that whatever you say and do repeatedly and consistently becomes synonymous with you. Repetition, therefore, is the mother of brand. Let me say it again. Whatever you say and do repeatedly and consistently over time becomes synonymous and associated to you. Repetition, therefore, is the mother of brand. So what that means, let's go back to that example. If all you see me talking about on social networking is this election and how, you know, I'm a Hillary supporter, I'm a Trump supporter, I'm writing my own name on the ballot, you would think that I'm an aspiring politician or commentary. Same thing happens, by the way, with all these people that on the weekend become amateur sports announcers on social, and they're giving us the damn play-by-play of any given game that's on. Doesn't matter what season it is, baseball season, they were just doing this with the World Series. If it's football season, guess what? They're doing it with football. They're doing it with the Super Bowl. You know, they're doing it every damn weekend, whatever. So you see it there. But you also, again, if every time I run into you, you're running your mouth about politics, or you're trying to convert the whole world over to your religion, or every time I run into you, you know, you're really going over the top with like the dirty jokes and the inappropriate things or whatever. It just, after a while, you start to say, like right away, like if somebody says, hey, do you know this person? Oh yeah, it's the guy that like, you know, is always like telling these stupid dirty jokes every time I run into them. You know, like I got a good dirty joke, but I mean, geez, like every freaking time, and they're raunchy and disgusting. That kind of stuff. And the same thing happens, by the way, with other behaviors, because judgment never stops. I mean, kind of getting off the subject for a moment there, when I teach branding, I always talk about the angry phone guy. And this is a real guy, by the way. And it says nowhere on his profile, I'm the angry phone guy or whatever it is. I don't even, truth be told, I don't think he's like in social media anymore. But a few years ago, every time you would run into this guy on LinkedIn, he was getting in a fight. I mean, I'm telling you, he was almost like the equivalent of getting into a fight with 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 people at the same time in different places, right? He was that good. Every time, like in a LinkedIn group, and it wouldn't just be somebody like disagreeing or with this person disagreeing, he would be downright combative and brutal and just like obnoxious and offensive. And you'd see him doing this. And it's so funny. I remember saying to myself, man, this guy just seems so damn angry. And truth be told, before I had a chance to witness this, I had been in a position before I started Castain Training Systems where I was overseeing the development of, it was about 850 sales reps at Consolidated Graphics, $1 billion a year printing company. And I was at a point that I really had to delegate some of this stuff out. I wanted to get some outside contractors, and I wanted somebody to take away the cold calling piece for me. I love cold calling, but at that point, I was seeing the writing on the wall, and I was noticing that a lot of like the selling battleground was starting to go over to LinkedIn and social, and I wanted to get all over that. And I'm glad I did. And I was going to use this guy for training. You ready for this? 750 to 850 sales reps. I mean, a lot of people. This would have been tens of thousands of dollars for this guy annually. We had the money. We had deep pockets. I had the need, man. This guy, it was like I was bleeding. He had the tourniquet. And then I watched him behave like a complete asshole online and being offensive. So how did he become the angry phone guy? So like I remember looking at him, man, this guy's like way too angry. So one of the things I've been doing since I think 2010, I guess, is every week I speak with a few different people from my social network. And when you speak with people from your network, especially with LinkedIn, you start talking about LinkedIn stuff. And sometimes you start talking about who you know, or you have to go hang out in this group. And I'm telling you, it was probably every other week somebody would say, oh, do you ever see that guy in the groups, that angry phone guy? And I said to myself, you know, this is amazing. Because I bet you he didn't when he thought about his main thing. You remember we said keep the main thing the main thing? I don't think he said to be known as just, you know, an asshole and to be known as combative or the angry phone guy. It's just it just happened. So the way that it happened was that repetition thing, right? Whatever you say and do repeatedly and consistently over time becomes associated with you. Repetition, therefore, is the mother of brand. So my advice to you is this. Please don't sell out. I mean, I think there is more than enough stuffy people in the world. I want you to be yourself. I want you to understand that, you know, if these things underscore your brand, like I told you that, I mean, if I want to say shit on my podcast, I'm going to. And every once in a while when I get an email from someone else or whatever, I'm barely nice about it. But again, I'm going to treat it like you came into my home and you told me to watch my language. I'm just not going to do it. Now, it would be another thing if I ever were stupid enough to go to your place of business or do a speech for your group and use bad language. First of all, this isn't going to happen. But secondly, I would be like hanging my head in shame because you don't do that. But, you know, in my case, I feel it underscores my brand. But now with, you know, religion and politics and things like that, most of us, that really isn't underscoring our brand. So I want you to be very, very careful of this when in Rome thing. You see others who obviously have your opinion and you jump right in. Meanwhile, people online are seeing what you're doing who don't share your belief, and it might create a disconnect with them. Also, it could be in, you know, a live environment where there you are in an office or whatever. And I want to be very clear. I don't think people are walking away saying, well, because he's voting for Hillary or Donald or whatever it is, I want nothing to do with them. I think it could be as blatant as that. But I think what happens if they experience an opinion that is just so much against theirs, I think it results more in a subconscious feeling about you that is unfavorable, and where maybe they just don't trust you as much or they just don't like you as much or whatever. So I want you to keep that in mind because, again, my theory is this. There are more than enough legitimate things that can get in the way of a sale. And I don't want you ever to sell out that if somebody were to come over to you and, you know, they were knocking your particular religion or whatever it is, you know, I don't care if they're your best client or not. You don't tolerate that shit from anyone. But I'm saying that to partake in something that can hurt us, that's unnecessary to me. It's just unnecessary. Why do it? So I want you to think about that, and I want you to exercise extreme caution over the next few days because you're going to see it heated. I want you to look. I mean, I always make a joke about this on Facebook at this time of year, but I think it's worse than I have ever seen it. I mean, can we all agree on that? This election is worse than anything I have ever seen. I have never seen people to the point of like, I know damn well if this were had in a live environment, somebody would be punching somebody in the face. I mean, it's just some of these things are just so combative and ridiculous that I think what's going to happen now as we hit the election on Tuesday, you're going to see a lot of things going on, but you're going to see a lot of people unfriending people, unfortunately. And afterwards, this is where that trap may come in, where you have in your place a business or whatever. You might have people sitting around talking about it. And again, you might be amongst people, it seems, that all seem to have the same opinion. And there you are. And, you know, let's just say Hillary takes it. And there you are talking about how much you love Hillary. And out walks the boss. And guess what? Your boss can't stand her. And again, I'm saying that the world shouldn't be that way. I am not condoning it. But I'm telling you that it is that way. And that's what happens many times. I mean, am I really out on a limb here? Because, I mean, I'd like to think that this is fairly accurate. I mean, many of these things I'm talking about, we've all seen, and we've seen it increase as we're getting closer and closer. So watch out for that when in Rome trap. Now, before you go, I want to pay the bills very, very quickly. On November 17th at 11:30 a.m., we're going to be hosting a webinar, and it's called 30 Ways and Places to Find New Business. Here's the plan. We're going to talk about 30 different triggers that make someone more likely to buy now and how you can find them. Then you might be thinking, so is that the 30? No. Actually, there's a lot more than 30. I just like I just was married to that idea of calling it 30 ways to do something, whatever it is. So it's probably going to turn out to be like 50. And those of you who've been through my webinars before, you know I'm not exaggerating. So we're going to talk about that, but we're also going to talk about 5 places where you and your competitors are forgetting to hunt. One simple tactic that gets people to pick up their phone. It's not sleazy. It's not shady. It works like a charm to get people to pick up their phone. We're also going to talk about one simple tactic that dramatically increases your callbacks. Those are two areas, I think, if you use the phone a lot, where you're like, man, I'm like all ears. Talk to me, right? Also, we're going to talk about 5 ways to capture a buyer's attention before your competitor does. We're going to talk about 3 ways to use snail mail that your competitors miss completely. My job in this webinar is to show you how to stand out. This one right here, I continually get feedback telling me I was not doing this. None of my competitors are doing this. We're actually – people will reach out to me and say, I actually got a call from a prospect saying nobody has done this. Like this is by far one of the most awesome things. And it's not something that you have to have deep pockets to do or big budgets or anything. It's just a real simple, like I can do it in 2 minutes or less. Type of move. We're going to talk about 3 ways to use LinkedIn to create just like an insane amount of phone appointments. We're also going to talk about a totally different way to use email to get in the door. And you know what? We're going to put all of these things together at the end. We're going to talk about how to create a simple communication plan to get you in front of more opportunities. I think the timing of this is really, really good for many of you because you're coming into the home stretch. I know a lot of us were trying to really like increase our activity before that whole drop off after Thanksgiving, certainly after like the second week in December. So this has your name written all over it. So what I'd like you to do, if you'd like to learn a little more, would you stop by yoursalesplaybook.com/findbiz. And I'm spelling that FINDBIZ. Let me say it again. yoursalesplaybook.com/findbiz. FINDBIZ. And on that note, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at yoursalesplaybook.com or you know what? www.yoursalesplaybook.com.